Hello and good evening, everyone. This is Hackerspace Signal, your radio or podcast or streaming station, whatever, on signal.hackerspaces.org. Tonight's show at 11 p.m. is Disassembling Babel, Apply German for Immigrationsanwärterkandidaten. We are in season one, episode one, and we'll give you a little introduction on what Disassembling Babel is going to be about. So you might wonder, first off, what the hell is Immigrationsanwärterkandidaten? And secondly, who are these people that are behind the show and what the hell? And also WTF. With me tonight is Tovo, as he will be every night. Tovo is from Germany and probably Tovo wants to introduce himself.
Ooh, an introduction, yeah. I'm Tovo, and I'm from Cologne, and I'm a city German who doesn't really have a specialty or something. No. God.
So, Tovo, for how long have you been practicing German just to do this show with me tonight?
Practicing German just to do this show? Let me guess, about 10 seconds. No. in theory, I'm like a bit more than 20 years, not quite 30 years of experience in that regard.
Excellent. I think that's a pretty good preparation. for our listeners, we didn't have much other preparation. It was more or less a... we're all on Club Mate, which is this German hacker drink thing. Yeah. And we're having a new idea. Let's just... do it, yeah.
No, it was more like yesterday evening, we're like, yeah, we could do this, and then suddenly we noticed, oh, we don't have a slot. And suddenly we just had to do this today. So, if anything is a bit disorganized, it is, because we didn't.
Right. And we're not even sorry for that. So, German. What is German? What do you speak German? Why would anyone need fucking German? Tovo, what do you need German?
You need German because the most common language spoken at 2063 or 2763 or the camp is usually bad English. But if you actually want to converse with people and convey ideas meaningfully, some of them need to be spoken to in German. And the catering personnel usually needs to be spoken to in German too, because their English really sucks. Also, well, there's a few countries who actually speak German officially, and if you like to like talk with the police there or something, I don't know, might be an option. Some people don't want to do that, but could be an option. Yeah.
Huh.
And it's official language of the European Union.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah, it's official.
I guess there's a lot
language.
Of official...
Yeah, there's like five or six which are all used simultaneously in given translations, and other languages need to like choose one of those.
So, interesting. Probably a little bit more specifically, German is spoken in, of course, Germany, mainly. there's also this little... well, derivative of Germany, which is called Austria. And there is Switzerland. And actually, just a little spoiler, we will have a special show on Schweizerdeutsch in a couple of weeks. So you should better stay tuned, because otherwise you won't understand a single word then. As
also
do we.
And it's also interesting, in little other neighboring countries like Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, or Belgium, and the Netherlands, even though they won't admit to it.
So, where to start? German actually isn't a very difficult language, I'd say. Probably some of our American listeners specifically, who once made a trip to Germany or Austria, maybe. I can only talk from my point of view, since I am sitting in Austria currently. I was born here. If we get visitors from overseas and they would ask us to, well, you know, say something in German, say something in your language, we would use very specific, almost frightening terms and have them repeat them, or at least try to figure out how to pronounce something barely resembling this term without them even ever knowing what these terms mean. Mm-hmm. I guess this generates a lot of fear in regards to the German language as well. I mean, if I told our listeners now to say Ochkatzerschwaf, or to even write it down, this is about as difficult as it gets, I have to admit.
But on the other hand, if you're not a native English speaker and you have to, like, you might pronounce a word like burrow, but if you don't know how to write it, you're totally lost in the same regard. So
that's true. So basically, I think it is not that difficult at all. People are just trying to make fun of you if they pretend it is. A little bit about the structure of a German phrase. Mm-hmm. Start off with a noun, follow up with a verb, correct punctuation, that's it. it's more or less like Ruby, isn't it?
Maybe.
But... Well, you could even go as far as saying it's putting subject, verb, object. Done. Yeah. It is win. It is also for fun and profit.
This subject-verb-object combination may be combined in very exciting ways, which actually don't look like subject-verb-object, but actually are. That's a point for later lessons.
Probably season 3 or 4 or something.
42.
So yeah, this season is 5 episodes, just for people wondering. Back to Immigrationsanwärterkandidaten. Who is this show for? Besides the people coming, getting in to Germany or Austria or even Switzerland for various conferences such as 2073, which is the Congress organized by the CCC, or CAMP, which is coming up next August, I believe?
Yeah, August. And I think 11th to 14th, if I remember correctly, or 14th to 18th or something, I'll look it up.
To 14th does look pretty, does sound pretty correct.
I'll look it up in parallel. Just continue talking, please.
Excellent. We have the internet.
Yes, 10th to 14th.
Wonderful. So actually, anyone who hears this and hasn't decided on coming yet, you should totally go. So other than preparing for these conferences, probably, I've seen a lot of Americans actually at these congresses who decided that Berlin isn't that bad a city at all, and they might want to move here even. So, Immigrationsanwärterkandidaten is a very good example for what bad you can do to German nouns, which is you just reassemble them almost arbitrarily, you get a new noun.
You can just stick other nouns at the end of another noun and combine those two nouns into one big composite noun.
And nobody will even notice if the term hasn't existed before. Yeah, you will never be lost. It's so easy.
You just split it up, and if all the components make sense, the combining word has to make sense too. There are some rather extreme examples, which I won't go into just right now, but...
So, you could also say, well, in Austria, I just mentioned this earlier to Tovo, we would just say Zurgraste, but then again, it might be tricky to understand.
And the thing is, we were like trying to speak the High German, we call it Hochdeutsch, which is like the common German tongue, so which everyone knows, whereas Zugraste, where would be a Austrian dialect thingy.
Very Austrian indeed. Just for clarification, actually, German in Deutsch, or in German, means Deutsch. So if we say Deutsch, it means German.
German, yeah.
If we say Österreichisch, it means Austrian. But probably we will just start again with our little introduction, I think. Mm-hmm. Lots of time for just introducing ourselves. the way this show is going to work, at least that's how it looks like in our heads right now, is we will decide on a specific situation that you might run into at the Congress, at a camp, in any situation, dealing with another German-speaking person. And we will try to elaborate on various, you know, ways to get talking, get into a discussion, have a little conversation. But first off, I guess when you meet someone, you gotta, well, what you do? You should say hi. I mean, imagine Tovo at 2063. And that's this. Probably not Tovo. Probably somebody from the States. Probably Bree Pettis. See, is this wonderful, nice little girl, and he wants to talk to her and talk her into making cool things with a MakerBot. How does he start the discussion?
Well, the usual start would be to introduce yourself or just greet someone. As we know from English, we can just use the word hello, which is like exactly the same as the English hello. So, it can just mean hi.
But also, we do use a lot of English words in German anyway every day. My preferred term to say hello or hallo, I guess, would be hi.
Mm-hmm. The hi or the Nolkert variant oh hi, which is usually understood on any C3 or something, too.
Works super, super well.
You can just use it. And it's like, so the most common English words actually always work. There's actually Germans who say something like sorry or something if they make a mistake. So you're okay with that.
Let's start this again. Hi, Tobo.
Hallo, Astera.
Well, now that we know the names of each other, that is pretty easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
In this completely hypothetical situation. where I am a little German girl and Tobo is Bree Pettis. Probably he has no clue who I am, really. What you do?
Well, I'm not Bree, so I don't really have the
capabilities to come up with. But I'm sure you do. This is a highly theoretical situation.
If you're a direct person, you would ask something like, hallo, ich bin Bree, wer bist du? It's a simple example of saying like, hello, I'm Bree, who are you?
Hallo, ich bin Astera. Und wer bist du? Which is basically just the same thing, spoken by a female voice, saying, hello, ich bin Astera. Wrong language, cripes. Hello, I'm Astera, and who are you? Now that we know each other's names, we get the weird silence part, don't we?
The weird silence part, which could then usually be bridged by asking something less innocent. So, if you actually know the person, you will be bound to ask something like, wie geht es dir? Which means, how are you? But if you don't, you might not use that, or just like ask something silly and say, schönes Wetter heute, which means nice weather today.
But always talking about the weather, the Germans. It is weird.
It's a very silly thing, but it's actually, you know, it's a common basis. If you have nothing in common, you both experience the weather, so you just know what to talk about.
Yeah, this also boils down to if you have nothing to say, you talk about the weather. Probably in my role as the, you know, German hacker girl, first time in the Congress. I'm spoken to by Bree Pettis. Wow.
Fangirling.
Maybe. What I'd rather say is, hallo Bree, ich bin Astera. Was machst du hier? What are you doing here?
Yeah. Ah, wait, my part.
Yeah, I'm still wondering, yeah. but since I'm admiring you anyway, I didn't even know the weird
pausing
silence.
Pause second, no. And yeah. Then we'll say something like, yeah, well, how to describe Bee's job. Ich mache Dinge, I make things. Which is a bit, in German, it wouldn't probably convey the same opinion, because I make things is a very proactive statement, and ich mache Dinge would just mean like I'm doing something. So that's a bit of a false friend in that regard, in a wrong word of truth. So,
but then again, it describes very well the subject, verb, object thing. Ich mache Dinge. Mm-hmm. I make things. Subject, verb, object. Yep. Super easy. Probably our listeners want to repeat this a couple of times, just to make sure they remember for the test, which will come up after season one. So, going back to the start of our conversation. Hallo. Hi.
Even. Hi.
and our listeners, of course, can repeat that at home while sitting behind their laptop or hi-fi furniture, whatever. So probably our listeners want to kind of try to talk my part when they get, you know, introduced to you.
Oh, wait, what am I supposed to say again?
You're the person who starts the discussion, remember?
We should have a script or something.
Next time.
Oh, look, that's my line, that's my line. Yeah. So, hi, I'm Bree Pettis would be like, hallo, ich bin Bree Pettis.
And alle so, yay!
And everyone, hey! Yeah.
Which is a German meme. We have so many memes. Probably we should do a meme episode as well. Maybe in season two or something.
A meme thrill.
So again, your part at home would have been to reply by saying, hi, ich bin, your name goes here. Was machst du hier? What are you doing here?
And then your reply would be something like, if you're a maker, ich mache Dinge or ich erschaffe Dinge, to imply the creation. Erschaffen is to create, as a note. Or ich bin ein Nerd, I'm a nerd. Or ich bin ein Hacker, ich bin ein Hacker. Which is
I am a hacker, right?
A word we actually
use. It's so confusing.
Because we don't have a really good German word, because the actual German word hacker means somebody who hacks at something in the sense of an axe. So if you see any axe jokes when it comes to hackers in German, it's because of the axe hacking connotation.
Well, since you do things, actually... Bree, hypothetical Bree, I have no clue what kind of things you do. Probably you want to show me something. So, to show my curiosity in some of the other way, I would ask another question. Was für Dinge machst du? What kind of things do you do?
So, in my hypothetical Bree situation, I would, in this case, try to be near my store or something where I have my MakerBot. And then I would point at the MakerBot and say, ich mache zum Beispiel diesen MakerBot. I make, zum Beispiel is for example, or e.g., or whatever you prefer, diesen MakerBot, this MakerBot. Where diesen is just the article.
You could also say something like, I print 3D objects in like no time. Which roughly translates to,
ich drucke 3D-Objekte.
I print 3D objects. You see, the term object, you just pronounce it in a more German way. And it's a German term.
Which is, if you don't know your language history, which is mostly because most of the languages come from Europe somewhere, and most had Latin in there somewhere, and most have French in there somewhere, and most have German in there somewhere. So many words are similar.
We don't have many of these French derivates anymore, do we?
It depends. If you're actually from Cologne, you'll all see them more often because we were living under the French occupation for some time and acquired some words from them. But
so just for our listeners who are not from the region, not from Europe at all, where the hell is Cologne?
Cologne is in the western part of Germany. Like, I don't know. If you have a German map, you just look in the western part where the Netherlands and Belgium and France are, and go away from that about 100 kilometers, which is...
Oh, 3 God. Centimeters or something?
Not to scale. No, 70 miles or something? I don't really know.
So, even being a very curious girl...
60 miles.
And talking to a person who is actually from Cologne, which apparently is not Bray, we could translate that. Where do you come from? Woher kommst du? From would be the woher. So, again, as we noted before, you just use terms and you put them together in one new term. Makes it a completely reasonable term again. where translates to wo, which is W-O. Now, where from is woher, which is one term, W-O-H-E-R. Woher kommst du, Tobo?
Yeah. Ich komme aus Köln. I come from Cologne. It's a little translation in that regard, and I is ich. Komme is come, where you can see a resemblance again. Von, aus, from, which is a bit of a difference because from is like, it sounds like German von, which is the mistake I just made when trying to simultaneously translate it. But it's actually you come out of a city in the official meaning, because like from a point of view, if you're standing outside of the city, and you see someone coming from there, he's coming out of the city. So, as a bridge or something for your mind. And Cologne is the English name for Köln.
Just as Vienna, by the way, is the English term for Wien.
Which is mostly because the English people couldn't really pronounce words like Köln, because an Ö is...
What is an
sound
Ö?
We come to later or now?
we could just do it now. Yeah. I guess every one of you people out there listening in, or pretty much anyone, or let's say just 95% of our listeners. oh my God, I hope this is roughly correct. use 26 characters in their alphabet. You know, going from 1 to Z. 26.
One to Z?
A to Z. Even if I started counting, I should have said zero. What the hell? So A to Z. Germans, of course, needed to be more creative, as always. Very special. Individualistic, whatever you want to call it. We have 4 additional characters. 3 of them being... What you also in English call an umlaut. The 4th of them being a scharfes S. You can look this up on Wikipedia. We just did before. And apparently, there is no English term for scharfes S.
It's a ligature of the S and Z characters meant for like a doubled S somewhere in a word.
It's a pretty soft doubled S, though, because we also do double S's. Yeah. You could call it an unvoiced S, I believe.
Yeah.
So, since we see this S, if you see it somewhere written in a book or something, it pretty much looks like, well, like a Greek letter and better, yeah. However, this is not how this shape was actually derived. If we go back, like, I'd say 50 years, maybe?
A lot, actually, because it's...
that's true, that was just a revival.
It's from Middle German or something, if I remember correctly.
So in very old books, you'd find...
1820s.
Whoa, that's a lot. You'd find these 26 characters, basically the same characters, written down, shaped a little differently. And there was a Binnen S, an S which was used inside a word, which is more or less, looks more or less like a pipe.
Just like a vertical stroke.
More
with
or
a
less.
Bit of a, with a bit of a thingy on top.
Hump on top, going to the right. Now this old-fashioned Z,
it's
we
like
need
a
drawing board. This radio thing is really...
Yeah.
Complicated.
If you take a 3 something, just take a 3, and if you write it normally, just pull it down so that the upper part is like
uncommon height.
In the middle of the actual things. It's in the middle of the actual. Also. In German, we when we teach writing, we have like two guidelines, which we say, and have a system called, it's a house system. German writing teaching is like, if you teach them the characters, there's three zones where the characters are. It's the main floor, the attic, and the cellar. Yeah, it's like, and most of the letters, like something like a O, is completely in the main floor. Yeah, and T, for example, is like has the vertical, the horizontal line at the border and goes up into the attic and is like ends at the main floor bottom. And if you just take a 3, which is like the top two floors, and push it down into the lower two floors.
That's pretty good description, actually. Yeah. So if you move these two letters, this S and the Z, towards each other, you basically get the shape of this unvoiced S, the Schaffes S. But in practice, you could just try to think of a Greek better, which might be even easier, or maybe not, or maybe you just put an SZ there because everyone will understand it anyway.
And it's common form, and it's actually, for the few cases, ASCII safe.
Now,
we should all use Unicode.
Now, this is a ligature, as you pointed out before, Tovo. How about umlaute?
Umlaute are vowels, in a sense, like the A, the U, and the O. Yeah. And there's like two little dots added on top. You may have seen the writing for Motorhead, the band. They use the heavy metal umlaut, where they just use it for decoration. It's actually called that because they started it on over the second O, like just two dots. And like over other letters, it would be like a way to speak it separately. But in German, it's how do you really describe it? You raise the voice, it's like something of a neon effect. If you think of colors, you have yellow and you have neon yellow, so you have a R and a E. Yeah, it's something like that. You just add something on top, which makes it something.
Umlaut, the neon vowel.
The neon vowels.
Awesome.
Yeah,
probably you should write a book on umlauts.
No, it's like,
now, if you spelled them out correctly, like, you have this crazy American keyboard, you do not own a Macintosh Apple computer where it's super easy to, even on an American keyboard, type these umlaute. You just have to spell them out. Cripes, what do you do, Tovo?
Yes, yeah. So, we usually have a way around this. So if we don't actually have a way to put the little dots over it, we just add an E to the word, because it's in, well, the German pronunciation rules say that an AE, also an AE, would be something like an A, and an OE would be something like an Ö, and an UE would be something like an Ü. It's just add an E or something if you don't really know how it is. You can try to leave it out, but that might lead to confusion. Although it sometimes works. It's a bit irritating when you have like last names or something where these umlauts can appear in sudden locations where you don't expect them. Whereas with normal German words, it's pattern matching. You can usually imagine the missing umlaut somewhere.
But in any case, do not fear.
Not fear the umlaut.
I actually myself know a lot of people that I'm constantly IMing with that are from Germany, from Austria, from wherever, using a Linux box, using an American keyboard layout, not modifying the configuration scripts. They put the AE instead of the umlaut A or A. In their conversations all the time.
It's like with a Linux box, you actually have a little cheating way to do it, even on an American keyboard, because you can define a compose key, as it's called.
Correct.
The compose key is a little fun thing where you just like press the compose key and press two other letters, and if you're lucky, there's a rule that combines these letters to something else. If you use GNOME, for example, use the menu or right Windows key or something, a key you like never use actually, and use it as compose, and you then just like hit compose, and then very visual remark, you just use the quotation marks, double quotation marks, and then A. Which then like puts the double quotation marks on the A, and you get an A. And you can use like two S's for a sharpest S and something, or a Z works sometimes too. And it's a very easy system, actually.
I'm just thinking right now, as a little break, maybe we should put up a wiki page for that and paste some of the most important, say, references that we use, websites, mm-hmm. Wikipedia articles. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Now, which language is the easier one? Whatever. Or Tobo's lead ways around your keyboard layout up on that side so you can look them up after the show. Another thing that has to do with looking up things or the internet, more or less, is, as we know before, we're trying to establish, you know, real life, almost real life, well, highly theoretical, hypothetical, in no way related to real life, of course, real life situations, in which you would probably find yourself, or one of your friends would find themselves in. Now, as we're not very creative Germans or Austrians, we ask you to submit your idea for such a situation, or, you know, things that you would like to learn in this show, either by email or to our Twitter account. In fact, the show is just a little revival of a Twitter account that was started by Hackerspaces.org 2 years back in preparation for 25C3, which was called Transbot. This is the Twitter account Transbot, just like Translate and Robot. Transbot, you could ad reply the spot or send a direct message or whatever with the phrase that you want translated or with the situation that you want outlined, just to, you know, get a little conversation started in German before you finally switch over to English, because you established some sort of, you know, friendship already. If you do not use Twitter, however, you could also write us an email to babel@hackerspaces.org. This is B-A-B-E-L, just like the tower, @hackerspaces.org, and we will try to put your ideas or criticisms, thoughts, phrases, whatever, into one of the next episodes. So much for that. Back to what we're... we have 26 characters plus 4 additional characters. Now, as we're already talking about numbers, we do, as opposed to English, not so much as opposed to other languages, have a couple of different cases.
Yep.
For now, that is. Also, gender is always a big debate in German languages, and that has, well, more than actual one meaning.
Political problems attached.
But now about the genders. Apparently, obviously, there's the male gender. Right. So, well, I think we can...
The default gender is something like it's... This is the political gunpowder thingy here. But in German, there's usually the male case, which uses special forms of article... don't use a special form. But it's the default case. If you don't know what something is, you just usually revert to using the male case.
Do you? Something like... Yeah, probably I do too. Let me think.
It's most words have other.
Well, there's a whole shit ton of terms that are in the male gender. Yeah. So what is the first case male gender article, Tovo?
The first case, cases, right? Grammatics, grammar. Oh God, what are cases again?
Fälle. So cases in German are Fälle. If we use any male noun, say the moon, der Mond, the article we put there, which is the male article, is der. As opposed to the sun, for instance.
Yeah, which is die Sonne. What you should see there, in English you mostly use the, which is like the standard article for everything. Because it's... It. Yeah. Because, like, English doesn't use... genderize the nouns, which I think... What's the declination is the term, I guess...
Declination is what you do with verbs, Tovo.
Conjugation?
Probably. Probably it's both. Oh my god. That's what we get out of not being prepared.
This Wikipedia thing says, unlike English, which has lost almost all forms of declension of nouns and adjectives.
Excellent. So well, in this case, I think we'll put the Wikipedia article link up on the side and people can read it on their own as a little homework.
So, okay, what you not do in English, but do in many other languages, is, like, you genderize things. If you use a noun or something, you add a gender to it. So you have, like,
Do you have, like, an idea of how to explain how you would recognize a term as being male or female? I guess with female, it's a little easier. If a noun ends in an A or in an E... I'd say chances are pretty, pretty, pretty fucking high. It is female.
The thing is, it's more of a, it's a, there's a bit of indication, but it's usually a learned thing. It's like, if you have this cultural something, educational mindset, you just like notice when, and just know when things are supposed to be female from their word and supposed to be male, which is another thing, which is a political pulverfass. Gunpowder case. Keg. So pulverfass is just like, means a brisant. Ach, scheiße. The correct English term would be something like a volatile political topic.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, we established that we have three genders.
Yeah.
Male, mostly ending in an R, I'd say. Female, most of the cases, I guess, ending in an A or E. And neutrum, whatever, which is just it.
Yep.
So, male article, first case, der. Female article, first case, die, as opposed to neutral article, first case, das. In case you're lost, in case you want to write it down, in case you have no clue, and don't want to prove your noobness, you could just put a D and a dot behind it, just like, you know, abbreviate it.
Make up your own article. that's the cheating way, because it's actually used in German if you're like abbreviating stuff, and then you just use a D dot for indicating that there's an article there, and the reader has to fill it in itself.
So hopefully your reader is a German-speaking person. Or maybe you're going to stick with us for the next couple of shows and figure out yourself which gender the nouns you're using have.
Mm-hmm.
I can even think of one noun at least you could use any article with, or at least people do tend to use any article with, which is yogurt. The German term for yogurt, surprise, surprise, is Joghurt. You just pronounce it a little more roughly, and there you go, it's German. So how do you say, how do you decline yogurt, Topo?
So we had a bit of a discussion about this in my, let's say, peer group, where I talk about yogurts sometimes. nobody actually says anything else than der Joghurt, which is the male case. But Estra says there's cases where she encounters female and neutral forms. So I'll just iterate them all.
I guess so, female is really, really wrong. It sounds really wrong.
Yeah.
At least in Austria, we do say das Joghurt. Mostly. Mainly. But yeah, as Tovo gets to the plural, you will encounter D again. So listen closely.
Yeah. So general introduction. I don't know how many official cases English has. German has four. We'll explain them at some other time. I'll just iterate to them now. So we start with der Joghurt.
Then the yogurt.
Yeah. Okay, good. You do the translation. Then we have des Joghurts.
We use the second case mostly for if you combine a term with some sort of preposition, like of the yogurt or from the yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Des Joghurts.
Der Geschmack des Joghurts would be the taste of the yogurt. Yeah? Der Geschmack. Again. So, then we have the third case, dative, it's dem Joghurt.
Whom would be the question to ask to get this answer. So, whom actually, well.
It doesn't work in this case because
does not really work very well.
It's person-centric, yeah?
Sure, but you can, I'm sure you can use it. It sounds wrong. Still, it works as, you know, to just go through that. In your mind real quickly.
Actually, actually don't. It's a person-centric thing. Doesn't really make sense in an object-centric way.
So, third case again, dativ of mm-hmm. yogurt is
dem Joghurt.
So what's the fourth case?
So we have the fourth case, which is the for English-speaking people, really easy to remember, accusative, which where you have the English word accuse, which actually helps you remember things, whereas Germans don't have anything like that. But it's like the target of something. You accuse somebody of something, and it's the object case which refers to something, like ich gebe Astera den Joghurt is I give Astera the yogurt. We'll see, in English you just like use the same thing, which probably means there isn't a case for that. But
well, I guess in English you would use prepositions for that as well. Like, I'm giving the yogurt to Astra. Yeah. We don't do that in German. Like, the to is not really common.
And even then, it would be like something, ich gebe den Joghurt an Astera, but it would just be like redundant. So, ich gebe Astera den Joghurt ist halt, is fully complete in that regard, and you just add words to like make it sound longer or something.
As we generally do in German. So that's it, right? We have four cases. Der Joghurt, des Joghurts, dem Joghurt, den Joghurt. And you might know that there is an S in the end of the second case of the genitive. Do not put a hyphen before that. So this is just
apostrophe.
This is just one word. Der Joghurt, des Joghurts, dem Joghurt, den Joghurt. How about the plural, Topo?
Yeah. So we have the plural cases, which will be a bit of a shock or something. So we have the nominative. The first case is die. And this is a point where you can actually get a discussion about, because there's multiple interpretations of what the plural could be. It's often like that in German. In English, you just mostly use an S or something, but in German, we could have die Joghurte, which would be one way to say it. And some people would probably say die Joghurts, because it's a foreign word, and so there's no real implicit way to multiply it.
Huh. Right now I'm thinking, why the hell do we pick yogurt?
Because we just came up with it at the moment.
Cripes, my fault again. I knew it.
I'll just look it up and say what the official sources TM say.
I think there is no such thing as yogurt as a plural.
The official plural is actually yogurts, so the S version.
Fair enough. Easier for you. Great. First case again of male, der Joghurt, in plural is
die Joghurts.
It gets trickier from here. How about the second case?
So the second case, genitive, which is the possessive case, is der Joghurts.
You see, we are so not creative here. We're just reusing the same terms over and over and over again.
So what you will see, it's like the nominative singular thing, der Joghurt, but with an S added. So you might get into a bit of confusion about that. But if you see it's plural and there's a der in front of it, it's the genitive. And if there's not a plural, it's the nominative. First case.
Again, second case, plural, der Joghurt. How about the dative?
The dative, which again would be an unreal example in this case, but would be den Joghurt.
Does the den sound familiar to you? I'm sure it does.
From the accusative singular. We just shuffle them around and use them in a different way.
And you have to figure out which way we shuffle.
you could probably paint a map or something where you have the singular cases and the plural cases, and just use arrows where you shuffle them or something.
you could just write a little bash script. Will make sense in most of the cases, most likely.
Yeah, if you can use a bash script to determine if the word at the end is a plural. Yeah.
Very true. Very true. We'll wait for that until some of our listeners come up with an appropriate bash script. Or again, episode 42. Please stay tuned. not episode. Excuse me. This is season 42, which is approximately in 2032, I believe.
Yeah, when we can actually play the role of teacher.
Yeah, we're learning with you. It's not as if we had all the wisdom here
We're learning to teach or something.
We got one case missing.
Yeah, it's the accusative case, which we just used the singular article for the dative. Yeah, anyway, which we just use in some other way. It's the accusative plural, the fourth case plural, and it would be the yogurts.
Surprise, surprise.
Which could be the same as the nominative plural. Then again, that's just cheating because we just took that from Latin, which does it the same way.
Again, so uncreative. Let's just walk through the articles once again at the example of yogurt.
The male case, male form. So, first case, singular, nominative, der Joghurt. Genitive, second case, des Joghurts. Third case, dative, dem Joghurt. Fourth case, accusative, den Joghurt.
Plural? Plural, first case, die Joghurts. Plural, second case, der Joghurt. Plural, oh my god, third case, den Joghurts. And the fourth case, die Joghurts. Not all that crazy shit, actually. I guess you could just default back to D in this example. Couldn't you? Mm-hmm. There's two D's there, and you could even say the yogurt, so that would make it a very high chance you're correct when saying D, especially if you're using the plural in any case.
But then again, in the singular form, you'd be on the most wrong course, obviously, ever. Or something.
Maybe not in regard to yogurt, but maybe in regard to a lot of other words.
Yeah, in plural, D is a very good bet.
I think we'll keep it with the male articles for this episode. We're going through the female ones in our next episode. Maybe on a side note, for season one, we will try to stick with talking about the verbs now, with the most easy tenses we have, which is the present tense, pretty obvious. We communicate mostly when communicating verbally in the present tense and the past perfect tense. So this is what we're going to use for the upcoming months, I believe. Finishing up this one show, I was thinking of reading a little, part of the preface of an immensely outdated book. Even the fact that there is a book on routing and switching written in German says it all, I believe. Point of this little lecture, reading, whatever, is you get a little bit of feeling for the German language. You might not understand everything that I read. Most likely you won't understand much. However, I think, as you could imagine, when talking in an IT-related field, somewhat computer-related, whatever, we use all the English terms. You don't have to study any new vocabulary. This is so much win. Again, it proves just how very uncreative we are. So I'm reading the first two paragraphs of the preface of Routing and Switching. And so I guess we'll just listen and admire the German language of this book written really easily. Einleitung, which is preface. Einleitung. Vor ein paar Jahren noch bestand ein großes Netz aus vielleicht einigen hundert Maschinen, die miteinander verbunden waren. Wenn Sie dagegen heute eine E-Mail abrufen, nutzen Sie das größte Netzwerk, das die Menschheit je geschaffen hat, das Internet. Hier ist innerhalb von wenigen Jahren ein gigantisches Netzwerk entstanden, das Millionen von Rechnern verbindet. Bei der Erfindung der Netzwerke hat natürlich niemand daran gedacht, dass diese Technik jemals in solchen Dimensionen arbeiten würde. Daneben war man auch technologisch zu dieser Zeit nicht in der Lage, ein solches Netzwerk wirklich herzustellen. Die ersten Netze bestanden nur aus einigen wenigen Maschinen, die untereinander verkabelt eine Kommunikation untereinander ermöglichten. Die lokalen Netzwerke waren entstanden. Physikalisch betrachtet waren und sind solchen Netzwerken Grenzen gesetzt. Die Ausdehnung eines LAN kann nicht beliebig groß werden und auch die Anzahl von Stationen an einem solchen Netz ist begrenzt. Als Ausweg aus dieser Situation wurden frühzeitig Wege entwickelt, kleinere Netzwerke zu Verbünden zu erweitern. Letztlich entstand so mit der Zeit das Internet, also ein Netz, das viele Netze miteinander verbindet. Das wesentliche Problem ist nun, einen optimalen Weg zwischen den einzelnen Netzen zu finden. Diese Routing-Probleme beschäftigen heute eine ganze Industrie, die eine Vielzahl unterschiedlicher Produkte herstellt. You see, a lot of these terms that we're using here are basically the same ones as the English ones, just pronounced a little differently. Maybe weirdly, you could say. But well, if you're getting interested in the German language, if you have any suggestions to make, let me ask you again to direct message or add reply or whatever on Twitter to Transbot, or write us an email to babel@hackerspaces.org. And with these words, I think we will go through a goodbye in German.
Who first?
I don't know. It was fun talking to you. I don't want to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Well, again, there's like with the hello thing. Hello, hi. We have a lot of ways saying that. In Vienna, we mostly say Baba, which is just B-A-B-A. But that's very Austrian. We do use other languages as well, as we're not creative enough to make up our own words. Italian ciao is pretty common as well. So I'd go for that this time. Ciao Tobo.
Ciao Astera.